Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to this second Sunday of Advent. It is New Year's, but it's also right in the heart of this Christmas season where we praise God for His gift to us. And we also have the opportunity to give and receive gifts for others. And I'm just grateful for all the gifts that we exchange. Material gifts, but also just the gifts of love and presence. I've often thought, as I was speaking to a friend who was relocating for his work, and he said he was just fearful to move into the new community because he knew no one. And I thought, you know, with my work, with my calling, every community I moved into, there was a built-in support system because I was moving to a church. And as you look around, aren't you glad you're a member of a congregation of love and support, at times correction? We cry together, we laugh together, but we are here for one another as the body of Christ. And that's probably one of my greatest joys this coming year. A couple of announcements. If you weren't and haven't picked it up, Sherry and I purchased just a small little thing for each person. It's a little book, has some wonderful articles about prayer, and I'd encourage you on the back table to get those. Also, if you are going to read the scripture through this year, any way you want to do it, there is no wrong way to do it. Whatever works for you, but if you read it through, I just hope that we have a large group in January of next year. Mona's dad provided, and I think this is going to be helpful, it's a little bookmark mark that you can use in your scripture to keep your place, but it also allows you, if you like to check things off, to check off the books as you go. And so they are there. And then the final announcement I have is I want to draw your attention to the bulletin. Through our Christmas Eve offering for the Kentucky Relief with the tornado, we raised $4,547 from this little congregation. So that's appropriate to us, clap. And to ask God to continue blessing the relief efforts there. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am.
My friend and neighbor, Caroline, she said that I have replacement tomorrow.
Let's keep Judy's friend Caroline in our prayers. Mona mentioned to me a friend, was it Susan? Susan Woolrich. She was 59 and passed away. So let's keep that family in our prayers. Any others for prayer? Well,
I have a prayer and a praise. The praise is that Uncle Tom wanted to thank everybody for the prayers. He texted me this morning. He said Bella's doing much better. And I know that that little dog's his whole world, so he wanted me to thank everyone for the prayers. My prayer is that we've got quite a few people at work out with COVID right now. I don't want anyone sitting near me to be worried because I feel like I can run a marathon. But we just pray for, you know, Stephanie, John, Gray, to name a few that are all out with COVID right now. I mean, they're not feeling terrible. Mild symptoms because they were vaccinated, but they still tested positive for COVID.
Well, the two he mentioned, we give thanks that Bella, Tom Langford's dog, is doing better. Tom, appreciate your prayers. And also, just pray for all those that have COVID, in particular at Pinkerton, but at other places as well. And I'm going to try to do better this year. It's one of my intentions to repeat the prayer request. So I'm not trying to be insulting, but I want to make sure that everyone hears as I repeat them. Any other prayer requests? Robert?
Yes, I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers. And I'd like to thank God for the good insurance He has gave me, which is G-O-D. And I want to put a prayer for the Hamiltons. They have COVID too, and their aides.
Well, we certainly pray for you, Robert. Glad you're out of the hospital, for your children, for Heather in particular, and for the Hamiltons. We lift all up in our prayers. Any others? Yes, ma'am, Sue.
Just for my sister, she's without cancer and it's been a little bit. She's at the Fairmont Crossing Center and in the hospital.
So we keep Sue Rossiter's prayer, Dink, Sister Dink, in our prayers. And where did you say she was now?
Fairmont.
Is that in Amherst? Okay. No thoughts. Okay. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I was glad when they said unto me, let us enter into the gates of the house of the Lord, His presence. And we thank You above all things. As we celebrate it during this Christmas season, there is no word, no name, no truth sweeter to us than Emmanuel, God with us. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your presence as we look back upon the previous year. We look back upon very difficult and painful events that we walked through. We also look back and can confess some very joyous events. And we are thankful that whether on top of the mountain or in the darkest valley, Emmanuel, God with us, in Christ Jesus. And with that same confidence, we look to the coming year, being absolutely ignorant of any events that will play out, good or bad, but being able to rest like a small child, not needing to know, simply needing to remain, abide in Your presence, which upholds us in all things. Thank You for this opportunity we have to worship, and as a body we come together sharing our joys and concerns. And we do give joy. We give joy that Bella is out of the hospital, and we'll continue to strengthen her, continue to be with Tom. We thank You that Robert is out of the hospital, and continue to strengthen him, be with his family. Let them know the love that we have, the love You have, and may love and peace be that which is spoken and lived in that household. We pray that You'll be with the family of Susan Woolridge and the family of Richard Clark. We pray that You'll bless their families, be with Yvette and her children in particular as they walk through this loss. We pray that You would be with those that have COVID, the ones that Webb works with, the Hamiltons, so many others. Just draw close and give Your strength and guidance. We pray that You'd be with the neighbor to the Kinsers, Caroline, strengthen her and bless her. We pray that You'd be with Sue's sister, Dink, as she's in a new location. May she be comforted. May she be encouraged and bless the family. We pray that You would bless us all as we come together. And we begin this year as we should begin every morning. Early in the year, early in the morning, our songs will rise to Thee. May we prioritize You in our lives. Thank You for the love You have. And we pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin as we begin. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know Your ways, O Lord, and teach us Your paths. Lead us in Your truth and teach us, for You are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to Your steadfast love.
According to Your loving mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from Your presence, and take not Your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of Your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you look with the insert, we'll use a portion of Psalm 119 to call each other to worship before we stand and sing the opening hymn. Oh, how I love your law. All the day long it is on my mind.
Your commandment has made me wiser than my enemies, and it is always with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my study.
I am wiser than the elders, because I observe your commandments.
I restrain my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word.
I do not stray from your judgments, because you yourself have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your commandments I gain understanding. Therefore I hate every lying way.
Reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. King Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on the throne that day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted by for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discernment what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you have been before and before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have now asked, what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This ends the first lesson.
God. Direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we might be made to abound in good works. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear light, making us children of light. And as children, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us all, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as planned for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This ends the second reading.
Remember spring. both now and for all eternity. Amen.
Amen. Gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Today's gospel text, like all of them, but especially, it's just rich in places that you could expound. It's full. In fact, I changed the direction of the sermon 3 times, which, John, I'll give you a new one because the bulletin I sent you has the wrong title. Went a different direction. So pray that the Spirit will superintend. Our gracious God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. It is truly that simple. Now we pray that the Spirit of Christ would guide and direct our thoughts and my words to your glory and our comfort and strength. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Today's picture is of Jesus at 12 years old. We've not seen Jesus at all, much at all. We saw him at the Nativity. We hear about him again somewhere around 2 when he has to flee with the Holy Family to Egypt. And then now at 12. And we won't see him again after this passage until he's 30. So if you look, it's sort of like looking at mountain ridges. So we see the Nativity, and then we see the 2-year-old Exodus, and we see 12 years old, and then we'll see when he begins his ministry at 30. And you know there's a lot of data and a lot of information in between those two. And today's passage is very important. It's what I like to call a window scripture, that we not only look at it, but when you look at a window, you don't really look at the window. You use the window to see beyond and to see the larger. And this is one of those passages that we look at this passage, but we look at it to look at the other scripture. And it's an ironic story. We look at it. The one who is the temple is in the temple. The one who is the presence of God, Emmanuel, goes to that place that symbolizes it. What I want to focus on this morning is that this is the first recorded statement we have in the Gospels that Jesus said. Now, I don't know if you remember your child's first words or his first complete sentence. Some of us have children that once they started talking, we couldn't shut them up. But we looked for that first word. And these are the first printed words, recorded words of Jesus. We see them in verse 49. If you'll turn your attention there, because it will be the basis, the outline of our sermon. I'm simply going to break down his first saying. In verse 49, "Why were you looking for me?" Did you not know? I must be in my Father's house. In this first statement, we see sort of a summary of his entire ministry. And he wants, at the beginning, for us to be open and honest. Why do you want Jesus? Why? Now, Mary and Joseph answered that differently than the people of the day. We'll go on to read in the Gospels that the Pharisees wanted someone to take over, to establish the kingdom, to get Rome off their back, to establish their rule and their reign and their God in place. They wanted power. We'll also see in the Gospels and in life that some weren't that interested in power. They just wanted Jesus to make things perfect, to be fair. They wanted life to be fair. Some come to Jesus because they want prosperity. They want to be blessed and rich. It's sort of sickening to me. And if you've posted one, I shouldn't have said sickening to me, because you may have posted it. But I tire, let me say that, of seeing Facebook posts that imply that if you love Jesus, if you have faith in God, that your life's going to be jolly well, and this is going to be the best year you've got. And if you share it with 12 other friends, you're guaranteed that it'll be the best year. And the truth of the matter is, we don't come to Jesus for prosperity. We don't come to Jesus to fix things. Jesus didn't come to fix everything in my life. Jesus didn't come to fix relationships. He didn't come to fix my children. He didn't come to fix my parents. He didn't come to fix my finances. He didn't come to fix my health. And when we think that Jesus is just some great divine fix-it that'll make everything right by my definition, we put ourselves in a place when that is not happening. We think Jesus is not present. Jesus has not come to fix. He came to save. And the teaching of Scripture and the example of Scripture and the example of our lives is that usually we are saved through brokenness, not fix. Mary and Joseph were devout people. Look at Mary's response to Gabriel when she said, "Be it unto me as your word would have it." Look at Joseph's response to the angels when he, in a dream, accepted the word that his wife was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We see it's their faith. And there were three festivals, just to give you the background, that were required to go to Jerusalem. If you read in the Old Testament, there were three festivals that Jews were required to go to Jerusalem. There was Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. By the time of the first century, the time of Jesus, it had been reduced that you only had to go once of those a year. You didn't have to go to all three. And the women didn't have to go at all, only the men. So it's telling that Joseph and Mary took this 80-mile trip from their home to Jerusalem. Like King David, they were a devout couple after God's heart. But when they got there, and when they were leaving, they couldn't find Jesus. And they were distressed. And they couldn't find Jesus, and they sought for Jesus. Now let me put on your thinking cap. I know it's early in the year and early in the morning, but I want to help you make a distinction. Now, of course, after we make the distinction, you don't run around correcting people for using the term, because we know what people mean. But I want to have you try on something, is that you don't search for what is lost. Now, most of the time you think you're searching for what is lost. And it's okay to use that term, but let me make a distinction. We don't search for that which is lost. That would be a fool's game. We search for that which is misplaced. You follow me on this? If it's lost, you wouldn't search for it. If you took, you know, my bowling ball, which I don't have, so if I bowled and you took my bowling ball and I saw you go out to the middle of a lake and you dropped it into the lake, I wouldn't go home searching for it. Do you follow me on this? We don't search for what is lost when we lose someone in death. We don't go home looking for that which we've truly lost. We like David, he fasted for the well-being of his son until his son died, and then he took off the fasting clothes. We search for that which is misplaced. And I want to bring this to you because in that there's a lot of hope. Why do you keep looking? Because of the hope you're going to find it. Right? We don't search for that which is totally gone or lost. We know it's here somewhere. Sometimes, if you're like me, you put things in that place where you just know you will remember until you need to remember them. And so we go searching, not for that which is lost, but that which is misplaced. The whole teaching of Scripture is a return. I did not know, but it shows the Spirit's unity again, that wonderful number that Mona sang about. We just need to return to that truth of Emmanuel, that every day Christ comes to us. And we look for him. We seek the Lord while he is found because we know he's there. And so we're searching, and Mary and Joseph are searching, and we're searching to find that which we already have. It's just misplaced. Maybe it's misplaced among all the clutter and busyness of our lives. Maybe it's misplaced under layers of hurt and disappointment. Maybe it's misplaced because there's so much fear, but it's there. Why do we seek Jesus? The second thing he asks is, why do you seek me? Did you not know? Of all people, Mary and Joseph should have known, right? Remember Gabriel and the angels and the shepherd and the wise men? They knew. I think I preached, was it last week or the week before, or sometime I preached that Mary did know. They knew. But it had been 10 years. At least 10 years. And sometimes over time, we lose our perspective of what we know, right? That's largely why we need one another. People don't tell us anything we don't know. We just need to be reminded of that which has been misplaced. See, life gets in the way and our perspective changes, and sometimes we forget what we know. See, 10 years is a long time in a child's life. There have been lots of diapers Mary had changed since that announcement that this is your Savior. They've seen the little child who was fully man, truly God, but truly man. They'd seen him struggle with his homework. They had seen him really struggling to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. So we sometimes glamorize, and it's a heresy to do this. Jesus was God, but he was also man. And if we're not careful, sometimes we just picture him going through all of life with this halo. But the truth of the matter is, he struggled and had the same learning that we did. I can see Joseph looking at his little six-year-old Redeemer, Savior of the world, but the boy just had to learn carpentry. And I can imagine his first attempts in his dad's workshop weren't very good. And so all of these things that seemed to go against the truth they knew had clouded. And like Mary and Joseph, our life can become clouded. Time can lead us to get our focus away from what we know is the truth. But like Mary and Joseph, we just need to do the same thing they did, and that's look for what you have. Go to Jesus. And that brings us to the third statement, where they found him. And I love this statement. Why do you seek me? Did you not know? I must be in my Father's house. I love that statement because that's our mission statement, isn't it? As Christians, we come here because Jesus Christ is in His Father's house. It's in the Word preached, the sacraments practiced. It's where He will be. It's where He must be. You know, we read, and as Jen was reading the Gospel, I sort of pictured again. And we tend to interpret this story in ways of other stories we know. Let me correct your thinking if you happen to do this. This story is not a Home Alone story. Remember that movie, Home Alone, where a mistake was made, someone was forgotten, and a little boy is all by himself. This is not a Home Alone where somebody made a mistake, somebody forgot about something. But it's also not a Huckleberry Finn story where somebody just gets mad and runs away from home. This is a story where Jesus said, I must, by His own design, by His choosing, He stayed. And what do we find Him doing in verses 46 and 47? He's listening, talking, asking questions about the truth. See that irony again? The one who is all truth is sitting there listening and discussing others talk about the truth. Don't you love, I sort of do, maybe it's a perverse pleasure. Don't you love to see two people talking? And you sort of think, maybe it's an insecurity, but usually not. You wonder, I wonder if they're talking about me. Don't you love to sort of just walk up? And if you're like me, you walk up quietly because you want to hear what they're saying. You don't want to disturb it, so you sort of walk up and listen. I would love to think what was going through this little 12-year-old's mind, who is eternal truth, just sort of listening to what people say. It reminds you, doesn't it, of another truth-telling story at the end of Jesus' ministry. Remember the walk on Emmaus Road? And two disciples are talking. And Jesus does exactly that. He walks up to them and just sort of listens. And with some irony, they just sort of can't believe how obtuse Jesus is. Are you the only one that doesn't know? But the truth of the matter is, my prayers have sometimes reflected that. If I'm honest, sometimes I've prayed as if God was unaware of the truth. Sometimes I've prayed in ways that I need to inform God what's going on and the best way to fix it. And it's comical at best. But at worst, it destroys my peace because instead of coming to hear the truth and find it in Christ alone, I'm almost going to give Jesus or give God my truth that I want Him to implement. It's a beautiful picture. In verse 47, we see that the result of it, it amazes them all. It amazes them all. The Greek word here is existeme. And at the root, it has the word exit, which means out. Just like that sign that I'm looking at says exit. Exit is often a compound to be put with another word. Here it's put with the word that means amazed. Your thinking gets out of kilter. You're beside yourself. You don't understand it. You have no response. And that's how God works. I'm more fearful of the God that I can understand what He's doing than the God that I can't understand. And we see this 12-year-old boy interacting in truth, and they're amazed. It doesn't fit with their thinking. And all they can do is worship. There's a 12th century Italian artist, Duccia, and he has a wonderful painting. Several have done it. Albert Durer did it much later. But Duccia in the 13th century, he did a painting called Christ Among the Doctors. And it's a beautiful painting. And if you Google it or look at it, you'll see a picture of the the Pharisees, the scribes, and then you'll see Jesus. And what Duccio does is he makes Jesus much smaller than the rest, but he's in an exalted higher position. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that exactly how Jesus Christ works even today? He's small, but he's far more important. We may miss him. It's a small whisper, not a loud shout, but it's far more exalted, far more important. We still come, as Mary and Joseph did, to find Jesus in his Father's house. But it's in small things, isn't it? Our whole salvation is in words, are in water, and bread, and wine. And if we're not careful, we can miss it. But if we don't miss it, if we see the truth, if we see Jesus, we wonder and we worship and we praise. We come today. We come at the beginning of this year. And maybe we need to be reminded. Maybe in the midst of all the crowdedness of our thinking, we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is present. He is here. Emmanuel. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of grace and truth, we lift our hearts to you in thanks and praise. Because before all things began, you shaped your life to be with us in Christ. In the sacred temple of Jerusalem, you gave your people a way to be close to you and an invitation to be restored in relationship with one another and with you. In Jesus, you came into that temple and became the very place of encounter between yourself and your people. When his parents did not know how to find their son and yours, they discovered his purpose was to be the person and place through whom all people would find their destiny in you. In Christ's death and resurrection, you show us the cost of our being utterly lost, in the glory of your finding us and bringing us home forever. And so with glad and joyful hearts, we join the company of heaven in the song of your never-ending glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Generous God, your Son Jesus Christ became the sacrifice that restored our covenant with you, and his resurrection unveiled for us a wonder of everlasting life. Send down your Holy Spirit upon those who gather in your name. Let your Son's peace and truth rule in our hearts, and his word and wisdom dwell in us richly. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way after supper, he took the cup and he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Astonishing God, your servant Mary treasured your wondrous deeds in her heart. Be close to any who wander in search of a loved one, a purpose in life, or a place to call home. Surround your faithful with good teachers and give your church good questions to ask. Walk with those for whom resentment or regret about the past inhibits flourishing life in the present. By the power of your Spirit, let your truth set us free. Open our eyes to the joy of your love and the wisdom of your grace in the eyes of a child. Until together with all your sons and daughters in your eternal kingdom, we behold you face to face, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's no filler in Scripture. It's not wordy or unnecessarily verbose. Everything is important. If you remember in the chronology of the passage in the Gospel, when did they come and find Jesus? You may recall that simple statement, after the third day. That's used throughout Scripture as a eschatological or idiom that makes reference to another event that happened on the third day, the event that's at the center of all we do, and that is the resurrection of our Lord. For it's only after the third day, after the resurrection, after Christ has risen and placed his Spirit within you, are we able to see the truth in our midst, to recognize, as Paul says in Corinthians, that and discern that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, I encourage all of you who love our Lord and Savior in sincerity and truth to come and to receive. Find that which you have, as Paul says, come and seek to obtain that who holds you. We are invited. The feast is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
thank you for coming into our midst, invading our world. We thank you in the fullness of time. You came. You abide. And now by your Spirit, throughout our time, may we abide in your word, remain in Christ Jesus, looking full into that glorious face, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and finish with the final hymn. We will not sing the third verse. Peace, love, and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.